Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you, God, for just your kindness and goodness over our lives. God, just truly undeserving, Lord. And I just pray, God, for your spirit to come and just rest over this place, Lord. I would pray that you would just give us great faith, Lord, just great faith. Help us, Lord. Help us to have courage and help us to follow, God. Help us to be more than we are, God, by your spirit. In Jesus' name, amen. All right. So we're going to continue in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, and we're going to talk about the crucified life. And then the subsequent, right, what it is to know resurrection power. So I remember when I was at Baylor, there was a quote, and it was about bureaucracy. So bureaucracy is like the red tape, right? And so, you know, when you go to the, you know, I don't know, the post office, you want to get your passport, you got to fill out a certain number of forms if you want to apply for, you know, citizenship. I remember I lost my citizenship paper. Oh my goodness. You know, I lost it in college, right? And you thought that I committed like a felony, and it was just massive amounts of paperwork and, you know, interviews. And, you know, they thought I was like, maybe, I don't know what they thought, but I was a college student and I lost that. The bureaucracy, the red tape, mountains of paperwork. And Peter Drucker, economist with Harvard Business, and he said this. The quote is, the number one rule of bureaucracy is self-survival, right? And it's because people work in bureaucracies, right? People, it's because people's number one law, right, is self-preservation, right? Self. So everyone over here, now Jesus knows that. Jesus knows that in the flesh, the number one thing that we're concerned with is ourselves. And he created us like that. So, because he wants to have us, right? There's a reference there, right? And so when Jesus said, when the Pharisees and the Jewish leaders, they say, okay, well, let's test Jesus, right? What's the great commandment? What's the greatest commandment? And Jesus, you know, of course, to love your Lord, the Lord your God with all your heart, mind, and soul. And the second one is like it. And he says, love your neighbors what? As yourself. So there's a reference. So whatever it love is, there's a reference in how much you love yourself, right? And love in the horizontal sense, you know, Jesus is saying, hey, you got to do it like that, right? So there's a reference in loving yourself. We'll get back to that point. So love seems to be like more than that, seems to be. Like, especially what is it? Because it doesn't say love your God with all your heart, mind, and soul. It's, you know, like yourself, right? Now, neighbors, it says that. But there is something about us, right? There's in that self-seeking, right? And then we're introduced to fear, okay? And fear is when something is going to either be disadvantageous, okay, or injure or hurt myself, right? So that's fear, right? And here's the thing. Jesus says, do not be afraid. In the Old Testament, do not be afraid. Do not fear. It's like all throughout the Old Testament and New Testament, God is constantly telling us not to be afraid. Don't worry about this body, right? That we're so zealous to protect and dress up, right? Right? It's like, you know, like, because we're like all into putting the lipstick on the pig. No offense, Esther. You know what I mean? Like, it's like we want to dress this. I mean, we just want to protect it, right? Right? I mean, I love pigs. I mean, not in that other way. But I mean, we really have this just lust to protect ourselves. And so as when it comes to fear, God is constantly, so because when you, if I asked you, what is the opposite of fear? What would you say? Shout out. Okay. Courage. What else? Fear, peace. Okay. We'll see that there is the opposite of fear It's courage, but it also talks about in the form of faith. And so we're gonna dive into how that's going on. So let's take a look at 1 Corinthians chapter 2, okay? And when I came to you, brothers, I did not come proclaiming to you the testimony of God with lofty speech or wisdom, for I decided to nothing among you except Jesus Christ and him crucified. And I was with you in weakness and in fear and much trembling. Now, that word weakness is the same word, right? Later on, we're going to see it also means ailment, right? Sickness, right? And my speech and my message were not in plausible words of wisdom. So it doesn't sound like he's got like the, you know, like he's like a debater or, you know, like a speech giver. So it's kind of raw, right? But in demonstration of the Spirit and of power, that word, you know, is always, a lot of places in the New Testament uses that word Spirit and of power, so that your faith might not rest in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. So we're going to talk about this crucified life. Now, I want to show you this video. I probably showed it before. There's a reason we got to watch this, because I want you to understand what fear is, and we have another word which is very different than fear. It's about cowardice, okay? So when we say, like in the old days, if you were a coward and you're in the military and you're at war, right, they would shoot you and kill you. Like, 'cause there is something, right, in a war. It's okay to be afraid. But there is a greater cause, right, in a war than yourself. That's what, now, when you are the most important thing, even in a war, when other people are involved, that's called cowardice, and that dominates, and that rule begins to pervade. But as you can see in a war, right, that won't work, because you have to believe in something that is greater than yourself. Because if you're your own, so there is something inside of us designed by God when we see, right, a self-centeredness and a self-importance in the midst of fear, right, something inside of us just grows with disgust. We go, oh, I don't know, right? And so I want us to begin to see, you know, there's a scene from Saving Private Ryan. It's pretty popular. Everybody's seen it probably. All right, we're going to see it again. I just want you to kind of allow yourself to just feel what's going on and just see it from that lens. And because I think that's a perspective we're going to have to see. All right. apologize. Some of you, it was just a little bit graphic. In the early church, when the Roman Empire, you know, because it was very, very demonic, honestly, but there was a law that said, if you are a Christian, you got to die, right? And so in the very early church, right, during, you know, Paul's ministry time and after, right, there were lots of martyrs. And so if somebody reported you as being a Christian, right, then and you were brought before, right, the rulers, and they would ask you, are you a Christian? And if you said no, then you're okay. But if you said, yeah, I'm a Christian, then they would kill you, right, in a, you know, very nasty way. So people were afraid of being a Christian, and, you know, and here's the kicker. There were a lot of people that said, no, I'm not a Christian. And so when, you know, Constantine himself became a Christian, it was a Roman emperor, and it now is no longer against the law, right, to be a Christian. And so you had all these people, and your neighbors knew. Right? There's that guy. There's Mr. Jones. Okay? There's Mr. Kim. Maybe even a Mr. Jung. Okay? That said no. Like, I'm not a Christian. And they systematically then began to excommunicate. Right? And they said, it is impossible for you to have said no, deny Christ, and be a Christian. And that was the official position. And there was another sect of people, though. They were like, well, I repent, I want to come back, but, you know, the church was like, no, it's like too late. It's like too late. And we listened to that and it was like, well, that's just so harsh, right? Because, you know, I mean, they made a mistake, and, you know, are they truly repentant? I mean, there was heavy, heavy debate around whether someone who said no in that instance was a Christian or not, right? If you fled in the face, because it has to do with, right, like, because it's a statement, because there's nothing wrong with being afraid. That, you know, Jesus isn't saying, he designed us to be afraid. But there's something about faith and courage, it's really one and the same thing, right? And so believing in Jesus Christ is having a courage in Jesus Christ. So it isn't like, oh, so when you look at the Christian life and you look at the Great Commission, as we looked at last time, right, you're beginning to see there are things that I'm afraid of, and we all have it, right? I think Andrew was, you know, courageously talking about, right, our tendencies when we have conflicts and disappointments with our loved ones, right? We create a little bit of a distance because it's painful. It's awkward. To press into that, to lean into that pain, right? I mean, we're afraid to do that, right? I don't want to meet again. I'm just being honest, right? And if I see them like at like Lotte or, you know, H Mart, it's just a little awkward, right? But deep inside, you know, I know that when I see them, it's important for me to render the proper greeting, right? To be as caring as I can. But I also realize there are a lot of people who don't want that, right? They'll be like, reading their receipts for like 10 minutes so they don't make eye contact with me, right? And now I try not to go and force myself upon them and say, hey, how you doing? You know, things like that. You know, we'll skip through. But I mean, it's just the way it is. I mean, it's just because leaning into pain, right, is called vulnerability. Right? Leaning into pain. Leaning into what causes you suffering, awkwardness, leaning into that is called vulnerability, but it's also called, right, it's the willingness to endure suffering, the willingness to endure pain, to endure inconvenience, to endure whatever, right? It's not just courage, it's vulnerability, but it's also faith. It's one and the same thing. Right? So you can't believe in Jesus and want to avoid pain. There's no such thing. So the early church really struggled with that. So if something causes you pain, And it could be like sitting through the sermon, right? So if something is causing you, right? But part of that has to do with the fact that if we're not willing to, right, lean into something that causes, right? Because in that moment is where grace happens. And we're going to talk about that, right? So courage, right? And we're wired so that if we're afraid and we don't lean into that, believing that there's a greater reason than self-preservation, then that's called cowardice. Or sometimes if we question, right, whether it's better to do that, we call that doubt. Galatians chapter 4:13 says, "You know it was because of bodily ailment," so that's the same word as weakness, "that I preached the gospel to you at first. And though my condition was a trial to you, you did not scorn or despise me, but receive me as an angel of God, as Christ Jesus." So I don't know if you realize when the Apostle Paul, right, was on his mission trip, he had kind of a deformity, right? A lot of people think it might have been an eye condition. Some people say, you know, he had a like a back issue. But he was not a pleasing person to look at. So whatever was going on, he's not one of those attractive people, because the Jews, if you had like a defect, you were unclean, right, to the Jews. And so he was going to the synagogues, right, as a unattractive person, right, and with fear and trembling, right? We read that. It wasn't like Paul wasn't afraid, right? When you're like an unattractive person with probably a defect going into a synagogue, I mean, you're probably a little, I mean, you're afraid. Right? And the Greeks, and they love beautiful people, right? Easy on the eyes and all that. They love that, right? Wise, good talker. The Greeks love that. So now writing to the Corinthian church, Paul is saying, right, I came to you with weakness, right? This condition, and I came to you in fear and trembling. So that, right, I could demonstrate to you that there's a power when yourself is at a disadvantage, and then there is a power that comes from disadvantage. Matter of fact, in 2 Corinthians chapter 12, writing to the Corinthians again, Paul further confesses, so to keep me from becoming conceited because of the surpassing greatness of the revelations, a thorn was given me in the flesh, a messenger of Satan to harass me, to keep me from becoming conceited. Three times I pleaded with the Lord about this, that it should leave me. But he said to me, my grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. You know, the thing about it is, I think we have, you know, I think this notion, I have this notion, right, that God's power could use my help. Right? So we want to be glorious and advantageous for the glory of God, because we want to serve God in our strength, right? In our giftedness. But God says, well, not really. He wants to use us. He says, but my power is what? Made what? Perfect in weakness. So there is probably, if you're a Christian, there's a work of God in your life, in a weakness, right, that God is not trying to strengthen. I mean, not like trying to like patch up to make that advantageous. There is a work of God in your weakness so that, and everybody has their own vices, those tendencies, those things that you're weak in, right? I mean, whether it's physical, whether it's emotional, there's a weakness that we have. What God wants, what God is going to prove, when you become a Christian, right? When I was young, I was a sensitive man. I'm just going to be straight up, right? I think I shared with you, right? A friend of mine once said, you know, like, Henry, I couldn't hang around with you because you get hurt too easily. Now, I express that hurt in anger, right? Like a guy. Forget, you know, forget that, you know, like, you know. Because leaning into that was very painful. When you're like a sensitive person, right, and you're like prone to get hurt, you don't want to lean into stuff, right, to like further hurt yourself. But God was like, Henry, That's where I am. That's where I am. And I'm going to like have you discover a power there. That's where I am in that weakness. Now, I want to find God not there. I want to find God using my strengths and out doing good stuff for the, you know, for the glory of God, right? Using all my giftings in a strength manner and find the glory of God there. God says, no, that's not perfect. That's okay. That's okay. But that's not perfect, right? So perfect is in my weakness, right? Matthew 14, right? Now, we can spend a couple sermons on this, but we're just going to hit some of the highlights. But when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were terrified and said, "It's a ghost." So they're in a boat, obviously, right? And they cried out in fear, but immediately Jesus spoke to them, saying, "Take heart." Now, that word actually also means courage, right? So take courage. "It is I. Do not be afraid." And Peter answered him, "Lord, if it is you, command me to come to you on the water." He said, "Come." So Peter got out of the boat and walked on the water and came to Jesus. But when he saw the wind, he was afraid, and he beginning to sink, he cried out, "Lord, save me." Jesus immediately reached out his hand and took hold of him, saying to him, "Oh, you of little faith, why did you doubt?" Right? So there is something, so the call of God and even our ambition, Peter tapped into something, right? He saw Jesus walking on water. He had a faith there, right? Said, you know, like, I want to walk on water and call, because God, if you invite me, I'm going to walk on water. I'm going to do things that I can't, like, literally do, right, by myself. So God called to me. And so, like, on that journey, right, out and just walking and the circumstances, because that's kind of like where we're at. We endeavor to do something, like, that is beyond ourselves, like praying, right? Right, praying or, you know, you name it, right? We're trying to be more, right? And it goes against self-preservation because it's disadvantage. You know, like giving of yourself, of your time and money, right? Like forgiving people because it just feels, right, painful and disadvantageous, right? And so when there's disadvantage in doing that, now there, we get a shot of faith and we like endeavoring it. And along the way, like, we feel we're kind of at a disadvantage doing this. Why? Because all around us, other people aren't doing that. And it feels like I'm being stupid. I'm like a loser, right? Like, you're doing things, and it's like, then you begin to doubt, right? And what is that all about? Well, it's self-preservation, right? Self-advantage, right? And so that right there, right, when we saw the movie, is called cowardice. So doubt is cowardice. Why? If the root of it is self-preservation, right, it's not just doubt. That's like nicely dressing up. What is Jesus saying to Peter? Don't be a coward. Don't worry about it. You're with me. I'm with you, right? And you're beginning to allow, right, the voices of the flesh, right? The flesh is now telling you, oh, look, being safe, there's nothing wrong with being safe. And there isn't, really. But here's the problem. Christianity, believing in Jesus, is all about being unsafe. It is. It's like deliberately putting yourself in disadvantage, pain and suffering, right? And going against. So faith, by its very nature, is going against the law of self-preservation. It is. To the extent, if self-preservation has too much of a dominance, you're not even a believer. That's not me. Now, we're going to continue to, you know, look at scripture, right? But life is about overcoming, right? And beginning to lean into, right? And beginning to step outside the boat, right? Walking on the water, right? And making a little bit further down the lake. So Revelation chapter 21, right, in describing eternal life, right, the first six verses are just amazing, right? And matter of fact, we read that yesterday, you know, with our family. But this time, it's, you know, he's describing, right, he's describing believers that have actually made it into heaven now, okay? It says, the one who conquers, right? So here is the description of who a believer is. It's the one who conquered, right? Not in the sense of like we did it ourselves, but in Christ, we are more than what? Conquerors, right? So the one who conquers will have this heritage, and I will be his God, and he will be my son. But as for the cowardly, the faithless, the detestable, it's putting cowardly in the same league as being faithless and a murderer, you know, and all this, right? And it's saying, if you don't, right, like touch upon, like if Christianity for you is self-preservation, but I'm going to go to heaven, that is not faith. It's going to hurt. It's going to hurt. You're going to lean into this, right? It's going to hurt as you take the money out of your pocket. It's going to hurt, you know, when you do 10,000, you know, services or, yeah, you know, it's going to hurt. And Jesus said in the Great Commission, right, go and make disciples. But, I mean, teaching them to what? Like teaching them how to do that by example, right, to lean into pain and disadvantage and suffering. But if we, like, don't tap into that and we allow self-preservation because all the other Christians all around us aren't interested in actually courageously believing, right, then that's not faith, right? So, matter of fact, at the end of our days, as God is working in us to cause us to have more courage, right, God is inviting us. It's okay, I'm with you. It's okay. There's great advantage in disadvantage. So Psalm 31 says this, love the Lord, all you saints. The Lord preserves the faithful, but abundantly repays the one who acts in pride. Be strong and let your heart, what? Take courage. He preserves the faithful. So what does he say? Let your heart take courage. Being faithful is being courageous, right? It's going against, right? It's taking chances. It's taking risk. It's, you know, after you stumble and fall, it's getting back up. Okay, right? Getting back up and doing it, right? We've got to take that hill. Right? Let your heart take courage, all you wait who wait for the Lord. Deuteronomy 31:6 says the same thing. Be strong in what? Courageous. Do not fear or be in dread of them, for it is the Lord your God who goes with you. He will not leave you or forsake you. Look, God is with us. We don't have to be, you know, we don't have to be paralyzed by fear. That's the point, right? God is with us. I know it seems like disadvantage. I know it feels like pain, but when you lean into it, when you pause yourself, as I mentioned, right, in the middle of an argument, right, seek humility. When you have to forgive an impossible forgiveness, right, and there's a pain there, right, you lean into that. You're leaning constantly, right, against self-preservation, the sense of it, and it's painful, right? There's a burn. That's why, you know, that's why the Bible, right, it's the analogy of the Christian life is that of an athlete and that of a soldier, because we're in a war, right? A good athlete, what? They exercise till it, what? Till it burns, right? Because why? The good stuff is in that burn. You know, you do the 10 reps, right? Ugh. And then the last rep, what do you do? You have a spotter, right? That's other believers. You say, like, come on, man, one more. He's like, oh, right? You're just knocking it out, right? Because in that burn, right, in that burn, it's everything, right? Everything for an athlete, right? Whether you're sprinting, right? It's that extra mile, right? It's that extra rep. It's that extra stuff, right? That's we leaning into that. Same thing with the soldiers. Wars are won, right? By that extra step. And so what we're saying is, like, be strong and courageous. Lean into it, right? Because God's given us a heart. Non-believers, they can't do it. Just be honest, right? Because they lean into that. Because there's a good pain, and then there's a bad pain. You know, there's a pain that injures you. You know what I mean? Like, it injures you. And so you got to be careful, right? You're leaning into pain. I remember, you know, I twisted my ankle playing soccer, right? Again and again. And every time I would injure myself, people would, oh, hey, Henry, like, walk it off, man, walk it off. It's like, you don't walk that off. You got to go get therapy and you got to rest it, okay? That's a bad pain, right? And so, but what, there's the good pain. Now, if you're a believer, right, like, there's the good pain. And those are the commands of Jesus Christ. That's obedience, right? You leaning into that, whether you're serving, fasting, praying, right? When you lean into it, forgiving, apologizing, confessing, you lean into it, right? Somebody disappoints you, you lean into it. You go and talk to them, right? Be vulnerable, right? Express how you feel. Like, so when you lean into it, that's what a believer is. Leaning into the pain. What do you think being an athlete is? I mean, how did you translate that? You know what I mean? And not get that the meat of that verse is there, right there. What did you get out of being a soldier? 99% of, right, my career was spent training. Right? Right? And it's just that few times that we actually engage in war. John 15. Matter of fact, Jesus even defines, right, courage and links it to love and the greatest commandment. And he says this. This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, that someone lay down his life for his friends. If the greatest commandment in all of Scripture is to love your God and to love your neighbor as yourself, and this is greater love, what is faith then? How do you love your God with all your heart? Have courage. At the expense of yourself, right? I mean, so sometimes we wonder, to love your God. And then we have our version of that. That's very safe, doesn't take risk. Right? Doesn't really, you know, we're not out there. Right? Well, Jesus is saying, well, here, let me just kind of like lay it out for you. Okay? Courage. Right? Suffering, clearly. Right? Because why? There's just something more important, right, than self-preservation. That's what that is. This is the treasure. This is the gem. This is, when you look back at your life, my life, when I look back, I was on a wall. When I look back at my life, it's all the moments, right, where God has met me in the crucible. And you go, that's not me. That's not me. Whether it's forgiving, apologizing, serving, you name it, right? Whenever God has put you through that, or you step forward to do that, right? That's it. The sum of your life and how you know Jesus Christ is that. But if your life is defined by self-preservation and you train your child up, right, in self-preservation, God help us. Do you know what I mean? Because that's not love. Love without risk and courage is no love at all. If this is to be the greatest commandment. Okay, let's talk about resurrection power. Paul, you know, chapter 2, 1 Corinthians says, "For I decided to know nothing among you except Jesus Christ and him crucified." You know, Paul's laying it out. You know what? I came to you guys. I was with you for a while. But I'm just going to be honest, right? Like, I was there so I could, right, know Jesus Christ. Matter of fact, but to know him in his suffering. There was a hint of, like, right, self there in a good way. Paul was ambitious to know Jesus Christ in him crucified. He was all about the crucified life. Yes, I was there, you know, I preached the gospel and I did things and I served you, right? But Paul is saying, right, I was there, honestly, I'm just being straight up, I want to know God. That's my boast, right? My boast is, if you're going to boast in this, right, that in my weakness, that in my helplessness, in my frailty, sickliness, unattractiveness, I'm going to discover something. That's why I'm going on this thing. Like, that's why I've been on this missionary journeys and going town to town and doing stuff. Because I want to know, right, how to be confident in Jesus Christ, how to be confident, have convictions there, right, that it's really, that in my decline, in my lessness, right, that he's going to be more, right? And that's his boast. He defines the Christian life. There's something about, right, the crucified life that we get to discover the resurrection power. Second Corinthians chapter 12, verse 9. Says, therefore, I will boast all the more gladly of my weaknesses so that the power of Christ may rest upon me. He's going to boast, and he's boasting. Look, I'm unattractive. I don't have good oratory skills, right? Man, I'm so glad. I'm so glad. I'm glad I'm not a natural speaker. I'm glad that I got issues. I'm glad I'm fearful. Because when I take steps, right, in the midst of fear, and I take that step, man, I'm going to discover something tremendous. And Paul's like, yeah, I did, actually. I've encountered that quite a bit. That's my boast. It says, I will boast all the more gladly of my weaknesses. And I'm going to continue, right, move out in my weaknesses so that the glory of God may be displayed. I'm not going to be afraid, right? That's not going to stop me, right? I have a problem with food. Okay, then let's fast. I have a problem with serving and comparing and, okay, I'm going to serve. I have a problem because it's hard for me to pray, you know, like because guess what? Because when you endeavor in those areas, right, what are you going to discover? Not that you're doing it. You're leaning into it, right? And you're going to discover what? The power of Jesus Christ. For the sake of Christ, then, I am content. Man, I am glad of my weaknesses. I'm not trying to patch that up like it's some defect, right? I'm content with my weaknesses, insults, hardships, persecutions, and calamities. For when I am weak, then I am strong. In Galatians, he says this, but far be it from me to boast, except in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, by which the world has been crucified to me, and I to the world. Now, listen to this. What does it mean to live a crucified life, right? The world has been crucified to me. That's what that is. I'm not gauging my life, right, based on what other people are doing, honestly. Like, the advantage is there. Nobody's really following Jesus that way over here, right? Nobody's doing that. And so you feel kind of, you know, smug about your life. Like, I'm okay, right? No, he's like, no, I'm not going to do that. I'm not going to, right? Look. The world has been crucified, and I to the world. I'm not going to try to prove myself out there for them, right? You know? Because here's the deal. You don't have to prove yourself to no man. No, not one. Right? Now, in that, you boast. Right, you boast that in this life is the richness of Jesus Christ. For neither circumcision counts for anything, nor uncircumcision, but a new creation. And as for all who walk by this rule, here's the thing. If you live by this, right? If you lean into pain, right? If you, in the midst of comparison, when your flesh is shouting with covetousness, oh, you got to go get that. Look, people over here having vacations. They're getting nice houses and cars. And, you know, when you just in the midst of that, like you're leaning into this. This life, it says, and as for all who walk by this rule, peace and mercy be upon them. You ever wonder why, like, peace is so elusive in your life, so restless before you go to sleep, so stressed out, so, you know. You ever wonder, like, oh, maybe I'm not crucified to this world, right? Maybe I'm, like, feeding off of it, right, to tell me, like, what to pursue and what to get and, you know, how to spend my time. Maybe I'm feeding off of that. But if you just cut that supply, it says, and as for all who walk by this rule, peace and mercy, the goodness of God will just come upon you. Right? Philippians 3:10, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and may share his sufferings, becoming like him in his death. The crucified life is not only knowing Jesus, is being transformed in the likeness of Jesus, right? And we get to share in his sufferings, right? We vicariously live our lives through him. See, what the church people were trying to do, they're trying to vicariously live their life through Paul, Apollos, Cephas, which is Peter, right? It's like, don't do that. Right? If you really want to live the Christian life, right? Follow Jesus, right? Share in his suffering, right? Lean into it, right? And you're going to discover a peace and a mercy and a power, right? Because a lot of us, you know what? Let's just face it. When we think about praying or fasting or serving, like beyond our, you know, there's just hopelessness. Right? When we think about breaking off from the world, there's a dread. There is. But it's like we're paralyzed by the fear of what the flesh is telling us. Right? That self-preservation, the cowardice that keeps us in our fear, and our lives are turbulent. And we don't believe. Step out. Lean into it. Be reckless. It feels like you're going to be injured. Jesus is saying, look, that's love. That's faith, right? That's resurrection life, right? Because that's the crucified life. And so that's being a Christian. That's being a disciple of Jesus Christ. There is no other kind of Christianity, right? That's why. You know, Jesus said, hey, go and make disciples of all nations. What? Teaching them to what? Obey all that he's commanded. Because that's painful. Didn't say teach them. Right? Didn't say go and get the nice, best Bible studies and go to the church with the nicest sermons. Right? Because, you know, if you're still, right, you know, on the sidelines or in the stands on this Christian life, no, you're a player. Right? You're the person leaning into this thing. And here's the thing, right? You can't do it by yourself. And if you surround yourself with people that makes you feel like it's okay not to live the crucified life, God help you. Seriously. Well, so-and-so over there is not doing that. You know, they seem to be pretty okay. I think they're kind of good with God. Like, nobody joins, okay? I'm going to join the army. I want to go. Like, you know, I'll be honest with you. There are two kinds of people that join the army. Like, for the college benefits, right? And, you know, they're like, oh, I want to be like this, like, particular thing because I want to, like, you know, be. You're not joining the Marines. Or you're not, like, trying to join the Rangers or Special Forces. Now, you know, there's that kind of soldier. And then there's soldiers like, man, if I'm going to do this thing, I'm going to do it all out, right? I want to do it all out. I'm going to go to that unit because, right, they feel the burn. They train till it burns, right? They train till it burns. Like, you don't want to go to a team. Like, if you're really wanting to be a great athlete, you don't say to yourself, oh, man, that they don't run as hard. They don't really practice that hard. I got to go over there. You don't do that, do you? Try to, you know, comfort yourself. Well, at least I'm in the... No, there's an ambition. There's an ambition, right? You're the guy in your growth group, right? You know, spotting somebody lifting that weight. He's like, one more, right? That's you. But if you're not doing that, oh, no, it's okay. I mean, it's like, you know, like, yeah, you're probably tired, you know? Yeah, I don't think, you know, maybe next year, you know? Yeah, why don't you just, you know, step away from that? And what kind of a friend would you be, right? What kind of a, you know, like, fellow athlete would you be? What kind of a soldier? What kind of a Marine? What kind of a Ranger? What kind of a aviator would you be if you were like, nah, man, hey, look, I got this, man. You know, you just chill out, man, over there. Nobody does that. Right? You don't be like that. You don't be that kind of a friend, do you? And you don't want friends that are like that either, do you? Oh, yeah, when I go to that group, man, they're really easy. They're lax. Right? You don't want that. Because that's not love, right? Love is about being courageous. Faith and believing in Jesus Christ is about going against self-preservation for the glory of God. There is all the richness and the power right there. That's it. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, just tough words for myself, God. Hard words. I just pray, God, just by your just Holy Spirit, would you just stir us, God? Just, God, help us to crucify the world to us, God, I to the world. Just, I pray now, God, just stir us as we worship you, as we cry out to you. Help us to take steps of faith, God. Lean into this thing. God, help us to just be willing, God, to be vulnerable, right? Just not run when we're faced with awkwardness and pain, God, inconvenience. Help us to lean into that. Only you could, God, just stir us in the Holy Spirit with power. God, there's no wisdom here, God. God, there's no easy path, and only by the might of your Spirit can you just, God, just engage us and lift us and move us to do this. And that's what we trust. We trust in you, God. In Jesus' name.